Good morning. I'm going to ask, hey, if you two don't mind, would you please play that again? I don't think we weren't ready for that for some reason. So if you don't mind.
We won't be ready for it.
But I'd ask that we try that again, okay? Thank you. Yeah, see what we missed? that was wonderful. Thank you very much. Good morning. I'm going to zip through the announcements. You can look at them for yourselves and ask any questions if you need to. LCCM, they're having their annual banquet coming up. See Gene if you've got any questions or if you want tickets. We have still a need for nice-sized boxes, larger boxes for sorting out the clothing donations. Don't forget about Operation Christmas Child in the back. Grab a box, grab two boxes. And especially don't forget that we have a congregational meeting right after the worship service today. We'll be presented with the quotes for the air conditioning, the recommendations from the property committee, and then you'll vote on how we are to proceed. So, and I keep forgetting to just announce, although last week we had our best attendance ever, I think, but just a reminder that on Sunday nights, we do have our Bible study. We're going through the book of Ruth, zooming through that too. We're almost done that, but you're very welcome to come and join us. The more the merrier. We had a great time last night, even though it got windy and a few weren't able to join us, and that's understandable, but we had a great time last night at the hayride, and then we had a campfire, hot dogs and s'mores, and then we all went through the maze together. We had a great guide that got us through. We just got through that fairly easily. It was a pleasant evening, even though it was a little windy. It was still a good time. Anybody have anything else that they'd like to share for our schedule? Any announcements? Anything that we need to know? Yes.
We are still in need of winter apparel.
Yes. Okay. We still could use quite a few more scarves, mittens, gloves, and hats. Winter apparel. The tub is still out there. Please put something in there besides that black and gold scarf. It's just I know what the message is, and we got to get a different set of colors out there. So, but yeah, please, if you would, please, we need some more donations of scarves, hats, mittens, and gloves. Thank you. Anything else that we want to share? Sure.
Just save the date.
Hang on.
You can just repeat me.
Well,
save the date. The first Saturday in December, we're going to be having a fellowship, but I won't say what it is yet, but save the date. Okay?
Oh, a cliffhanger. Okay. Any others? Any other announcements or... I just put.
I'm really loud.
I know.
Okay.
But that's okay. The Zoom people need to hear it.
Thank you to everybody who did the Boscovs. I hope you guys had some happy shopping. We raised $330, which is about 60 people getting the coupons, which I think is really awesome. So thank you to everybody for the Cumberland Vista fundraiser that we did.
Any other announcements? Any other schedule changes? Schedule changes or announcements or updates? All right. Hey, we have fun as a family, don't we? A church family, not just family. All right. Well, let's just pause for a second, and let's pray and remember why we're here. Good morning, Heavenly Father. We are here this morning to sing your praises, to worship you, to lift up our praise, and also to receive your grace, your mercy, your blessings, to hear your word, and to have it touch our hearts and affect our hands and our feet. Father, I pray that everything that's done here this morning would be to your honor and to your glory. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our call to worship is actually from way back in the Old Testament. I'm using Exodus. Exodus 34, verses 12 through 14. Now this is the Lord saying, "Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land where you are going, or they will be a snare among you. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and cut down their Asherah poles. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." He was telling them to, when he says, smash your sacred stones, cut down the Asherah poles, those were poles that were set up as worship reminders to the goddess named Asherah. Cut down the sacred stones. Get rid of all those things that remind you of other gods. Now, we don't have Asherah poles, and we don't have sacred stones, but we have credit cards. We have social media. We have things that sometimes take our mind and our focus away from God. I'm not telling you to pull out all your credit cards and rip them up, but keep them where they belong in the list of priorities. Our God is a jealous God, he says. That means he loves you. He loves you. He wants you to love him. He wants you to love him more than that credit card, more than that phone, more than that social media. Why don't we stand and let's sing our praises to our jealous God this morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Are we ready to sing?
Yes.
Are we ready to sing? Giver of every breath I breathe, author of all eternity, giver of every perfect thing, to you be the glory. Maker of heaven and of earth, no one can comprehend your word. King over all the universe, to you be the glory. And I'm alive because I'm alive in you. And it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. It's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Covers me and raises dead man's life. It's all because of Jesus I'm alive. I'm alive. Giver of every breath I breathe, author of all eternity, giver of every perfect thing, to you be the glory. Maker of heaven and of earth, no one can comprehend your word. King over all the universe, to you be the glory. Because I'm alive in you, and it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. It's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Covers me, raises dead man's life. It's all because of Jesus. Every son. I'm alive. It's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It covers me and raises dead men's lives. It's all because of Jesus, and it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. It's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It covers me and raises dead man's life. It's all because of Jesus, and it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. It's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Man's life. It's all because of Jesus I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm
Oh, how he loves.
Spend a moment with your neighbor, reminding them, God loves you.
God loves you. God loves you.
What? Oh, is it? Tomorrow. Well, I won't tell anybody that tomorrow is your birthday. Oh, am I on? Am I live? I hope nobody heard me.
I told Gene not to put it in the bulletin. Oh. And I did want it because Gene Lightness is also tomorrow.
Oh. And Gene, is she in here?
No, it's not.
Gene's not in here either? And she can't hear me really, probably right now. Hey, I realized I'm going to see if they can put a monitor up here or something so that you guys can't see the screen. Yeah, we need to put something up here. Put one back there. That would help me too. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, I just realized we'll work on that. We'll get
Oh,
okay. All right. Well, I'm sorry. I was detained because I was told a secret, and I hope nobody heard that it was Gloria's birthday tomorrow. And then I heard that it's Jean's birthday. Oh, did she hear me? Oh. And then it's Gene Leitner's birthday tomorrow too. Somebody else has a birthday tomorrow? Oh yeah, okay. But yeah. And Ginny was obedient. She was told not to put it in the... So that's fine. I took care of it. So, happy... What's that?
It was in there.
Oh. Higher power. Well, so we got Gloria. We got Linda. Is Linda here today? No, Linda's not with us today. Okay. And I don't usually... I'm sorry to all those who have been mentioned before, but I thought we were letting out a secret, so... Happy birthday to all those who have celebrated last week or are celebrating this coming week. So, well, let's take a moment to share. We're sharing our praises. We have some birthdays. What other praises can we share with the family?
I'd just like to praise for answered prayers. Answered prayers.
Okay. Amen. Any other praises? Okay, well, we'll just lift up unspoken praises, because I know every one of you can think of something that you would offer praise for. How about prayer requests? What kind of concerns do we have on our minds?
Actually, I did just think of it. I do have a praise.
Okay, go for it.
Kathy and I celebrated 20 years this week. So.
Okay, well, congratulations.
And my mom wanted me to just thank everybody for cards. People I know, people had sent cards, and for prayers, and just to keep her in her prayers because she's still dealing with a lot of pain.
Okay.
She did go Friday. I took her to get a couple more injections into her back to maybe help alleviate that. So, but sometimes it takes a week or two till it. So.
Yeah, okay. So, Marlene, any other prayer requests? Okay. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I'll tell you what, I'll just pause in case anything does come to your mind, and you can lift it if you want, and you can just pray silently if you want as I pause later. But let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you, first of all, for just giving us another day, a day to serve you and to praise you, to be obedient to you, and to worship you. We thank you for special days. We thank you for milestones like birthdays and anniversaries. We have the joy of celebrating those, and we also remember for those families who have suffered loss this past week or very recently, we pray for your comfort with those families. The family of Jim Gerber comes to mind as we had his funeral this past week. Milestones can be good and they can be bad, but either way, it's just a recognition, a reminder that you're in control and that every day is a gift from you, and so we thank you for the days you have given us. We want to lift up Marlene. We thank you for the healing, the comfort that you have provided, but we pray that you will continue to heal her, continue to comfort her as she deals with a lot of pain. We just pray that the doctors might be able to find the sources, might be able to find ways to help her to alleviate this pain and to provide more comfort for her in her situation. Father, I'm going to pause now, and I just ask you to hear all the unspoken requests or those that might be spoken out loud. Lord, we also thank you for the way that you watch over us and provide for us. You give us our daily bread. We thank you for our income that we receive in all sorts of different fashions. And we just give back a portion. We give back. We give to you first. Because we give it as a token of worship and as a token of thanksgiving, and also a token, a recognition that everything we have comes from you, that none of it is ours, it's all yours. You deserve the best and the first to come to you, not just what's left over after everything else has been taken care of. So, Father, I pray that you'll work in our hearts. If that's not the case, that you will move us to remember you first. But we ask you to accept the gifts that we have given you today. We ask you to bless them and receive them and use them to further your kingdom and your church. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue worshiping by singing hymn number 278. This morning, we're going to talk about complaining. I don't know if you've noticed, but people like to complain. And I like to complain about people complaining. So, but did you hear about the girl who was complaining when her mom, and this might hit home for a lot of you, mom asked the girl, the young girl, to vacuum the apartment for her. And the girl started whining, "Mom, do I have to vacuum the entire apartment?" And mom says, "No, just the floors." We like to complain, right? We like to complain when we feel like something's not fair. I used to be very guilty of complaining. Maybe I still am, but hopefully it's not as bad as I was. But I remember early in my computer career, my other career, I remember feeling like I wasn't getting the recognition I deserved. I was in charge of some software. I was the one who supported software for a company that I was working for. I supported the accounting software, the payroll software, and so forth. And I was even in there one year over Christmas and New Year's holiday changing tax tables in the software. I shouldn't have been doing that. The software people should have been doing that. But anyhow, I remember that any time that there would be a glitch or something that somebody wanted to change in the software, I'd pull it out, I'd dig into the software, dig into the program, run the troubleshooting, and I'd find the problem, and I'd tell my boss. Okay. And then he'd go out and he'd get a consultant, he'd spend $150 an hour to have a person come in, open up the software, dig into the program, run the troubleshooting, and tell him the same thing I just told him. You know, and I remember that kind of stuff was so frustrating, you know, and I would complain about it. And I realized nobody likes a complainer. But somehow I became very aware of all this, that I was doing so much complaining. I heard a voice one day, and it was my own voice, but I think it was God talking to me. And he gave me three words. And I took a little piece of paper, little rectangular piece of paper, and I put Q, Y, W. and I pasted it to my terminal, so it was always right there in front of me as I was programming, QYW, because what I heard the voice say was, quit your whining. And so I reminded myself all the time, quit your whining. It doesn't do any good, does it? And you shouldn't be doing it anyway. Like I said, nobody likes a perpetual whiner. But it happens. It happens at work. I still do whine when I see these umpires or these referees making these stupid calls. Yeah. And anyhow, some of you may have disagreed with a few of the calls in some of the recent ball games. But that's when I find myself really whining. Gotta be careful. Gotta slow it down. Whining's in work, whining's in sports, but guess what? Whining can be in church too. You know, well, what's wrong with the green carpet? Who cares if 30 years ago it was purple? You know, we don't need to change this carpet, you know, or why is so-and-so sitting in my pew today? You know, we've got all kinds of things that we whine about in church, don't we? Well, we're going to find out today that it happened in this first church as well. And that's why I entitled the sermon this morning, Bread and Wine, with an H. That was intentional. Just to recap, and I will make this very summarized because I know we keep going back over it, but you remember we're talking about the church that was formed. It grew, it flourished, it suffered through several different difficulties. We know that as it expanded and as it kept increasing by huge numbers, it just was doing so well. Well, of course, Satan isn't going to be happy with that. He's not going to let this happen without a fight, right? So he starts off first hitting it from the outside, right? He gets the chief priests to get Peter and John in front of them, and you're not supposed to talk about Jesus anymore. Don't teach in the name of Jesus anymore. Gives them a slap on the wrist and sends them out. That'll be enough to scare them, right? And well, then they continue to grow. Of course, the first thing they do is they pray. They pray for boldness. They pray for the opportunity to just keep preaching the name of Jesus. So Satan decides he's going to hit them from the inside. And we saw how people were taking care of each other. They're selling off property. And they're giving the money to the apostles so that they could take care of the needy. Well, we found out one couple, Satan convinced the one couple to be a little deceitful about how they took care of the money that they got from selling their property. Well, that problem was taken care of right away. And they went on. The church continued to grow. So Satan says, well, okay, well, I'll try it from the outside again. So he gets the chief priests, he gets the Sadducees to go get these guys, bring them in. He brought all the apostles in, right? Remember? And he ended up flogging them. 39 lashes with heavy leather. They leave in pain. They leave probably with bloodied backs. Satan says, well, that ought to take care of the problem. No, they end up rejoicing. They were rejoicing for being worthy of disgrace in his name. Well, so today we're going to find that Satan decides, well, I'll start working on the inside again. I'll try that maneuver. And we're going to see how he tries to affect the church in a couple of different ways this morning. We're up to Acts chapter 6, and we're at verse 1. And we see that it says, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, not just membership, but disciples. Disciples was a word that meant learners, followers, true believers. And so the number of disciples was increasing. But there's a bit of a problem. The Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Now, there are several things going on in this one verse. First of all, let's look at the very end of the verse and recognize that the Jews were trying to honor God and God's word in the fact that we're supposed to take care of the orphans, the widows, and the foreigners. So it appears that they have some kind of a system in place where they are distributing food to the widows every day. They've got something in place to take care of these widows. Good for them. That's great. But as we know, this group of followers, and we hear about disciples and membership, it's growing. Remember the last number that we heard, the very last specific number we heard was 5,000 men. And we've seen how it tells us that they were added to their number daily. We're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And apparently something has happened in the logistics that now there are certain people who aren't getting the daily distribution of food that they were expecting. What we've got here is the Hellenistic Jews and the Hebraic Jews. Let me see if I can help you understand that. The Hebraic Jews are the ones who are still living in Jerusalem, still living in the Jerusalem area. They're the city folk. They're the ones who are still Jews, living like Jews, speaking like Jews, following the Jewish culture. They're in town. They're the Hebraic Jews. The Hellenistic Jews are the ones who have been affected by the diaspora. They're the ones who are out into the suburbs, out into the villages, outside of Jerusalem. They've picked up the Greek culture. They're starting to live like Greeks. They speak like Greeks. They eat like Greeks. They live like Greeks. They're still Jewish. They're still Jews, but they're out there outside in the Greek culture. So what's happening is those Greek Jews, we'll call them Greek Jews, that are out there are not getting the same amount of food that these city Jews, the Jerusalem Jews are getting. The widows who are expecting to be taken care of by the church. Something has broken down that these ladies, these widows are getting the food, they're getting their bread, but those ones out in the outer expanses, they're not. And it says that those who weren't getting it complained. Now, this word literally translated is more like murmured. They murmured against the Hebraic Jews. And that puts a little bit of different light on this. Complaining is okay. If there's a problem, you want to bring it up, you want to point it out. Murmuring is a little different. Murmuring is one of those onomatopoeia, I think that's the right kind of word, where it's a word that sounds like what it actually describes. So in other words, like when Brent is talking to Ron about me and they don't want to talk out real loud because they don't want to hear me, if I look over and they're over there talking like this and they're kind of murmuring, it's more of that murmur kind of thing, right? They're murmuring against me, right? And what happens then, Ron tells Mike, and Brent goes home, and he tells Gloria, you know, and says that the murmuring keeps going, right? And it was like, so the murmuring kind of spreads, right? So what we can see in this first verse is we got to remember two points. First of all, there's a right way and a wrong way to complain, okay? There's a problem, point it out to the people who need to know so that they can take care of it. Be careful about this murmuring thing. In fact, don't do the murmuring thing. If there's a problem, the way we usually handle it is we get on the phone with a friend and we tell them about it, or we talk about it out in the parking lot, right? There's this, did you see what that person was doing over there while we were trying to, murmur, right? That's not the way to handle it. What does the Bible tell us? If you got a problem with someone, go to them directly. Handle it directly with them, and you can usually solve the problem just like that. Anyhow, there's a right way and a wrong way to complain. There's also a right way and a wrong way to receive the complaints. I'm one that, I tell you, if you've got a problem, my door is always open. Come on in. Well, even if you don't have a problem, I don't mind you coming by and visiting. That'd be great. But if you got a problem, tell me. I'd love to hear it. I'd love to try to take care of the problem right away. And the one thing that all of us can do when someone's complaining to us, don't go on the defensive right away. Because what's the first thing we want to do? As soon as they take a breath, we want to say, well, do you remember 3 years ago when you did blah, 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 whatever, right? We want to lash out. We want to dig up old coals, right? Stoke the fire. When you listen to someone and their complaint, very often, you will find one of two things, or possibly both things. First of all, it might have been the last straw. They're coming at you, they're complaining about something, but if you truly listen to them, in a loving way, you might find that what their problem really is something else completely that's really bothering them that they just can't get over, and you did something that was like just made them snap. And maybe through this conversation, you can find a way to solve the problem, but also to provide some comfort for them and some help in some other way, whatever it is that the underlying problem. The second thing is, if you listen carefully and you pay attention to them and listen to them lovingly, they might have a kernel of truth in there. Even though you telling you just might be true, or a portion of it might be true, and it's something that you can grow from. So you don't want to just put it off, and that's what the apostles didn't do. They listened, they took the complaint to mind, they paid attention to it, and they found the root problem and said, okay, this is something that needs to be dealt with. So in verse 2, it says, the 12 gathered all the disciples together, and it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Okay, very smart move. These guys recognize there's a problem. They recognize that something needs to be done, but they also recognize that they aren't the ones who need to do it. They've been called to perform other duties. They've been called to spread and to give the ministry of the word. When they're down on them saying, I'm too good to wait on tables, that's not what they're saying. They're saying, my calling is different. Let's get this taken care of in a different way. It wouldn't be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word. So their solution is, verse 3, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Sorry, that went into verse 4. They recognize that if we get 7 people, you as a congregation, you choose 7 people so that we can keep focusing on the ministry of the word and prayer. But when you choose these men, make sure they're full of the Holy Spirit, make sure they're full of wisdom. You guys pick them out. We're going to keep focusing on preaching. And then verse 5 says, this proposal pleased the whole group. Everybody liked that idea. It was a great idea. It was very smart. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, I'm not going to pronounce these correctly, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. So the congregation has brought forward 7 men. They've chose 7 men. And this congregation did an amazing job of picking 7 men. These 7 names are Greek names. We don't know for sure if they're specifically Greek people, because everybody back then, and that's a generalized statement, but the majority of the people had a Hebrew name, had a Greek name, and had an Aramaic name. And so they could just be referring to their Greek names. But we know for sure that Stephen is Greek, and we know that Nicholas is Greek, and we assume that the rest of them are Greek. Why is that such a smart move? Remember who was complaining. It was the Greek widows, or the Greek Jews who were taking care of the Greek widows. It makes sense for these Greek disciples to take care of them. They would know the Greek culture. They would know what these ladies are living through. You don't give it to these city folk who don't know anything about what's going on in the country, right? That's a general statement all the time. But these Greek disciples will know exactly what these widows are going through and the kind of situations that they live through out there in that Greek culture. So they've made a very, very smart move here. In verse 6, they presented these men to the apostles. We as a congregation made this choice. Here's our 7 men, and we're presenting them to you as apostles. And the apostles prayed and laid their hands on them. The congregation chose them, voted for them. The apostles anointed them. They solved the problem. Verse 7, so the word of God spread. It spread because the apostles were able to focus on their ministry of the word. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. So people that were continuing to learn and to follow Jesus, follow his teaching. It grew, and it even flourished, and it's spreading out into the Greek culture and everything. But even within Jerusalem, it's a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. This is the first time that we see some of the priests actually converting. It isn't just some of the peasants. It isn't just the people, the common people living in Jerusalem. Now we're seeing priests who are starting to become obedient. So there was a right way to handle this. It was handled by the apostles. They took care of it. And the church continued to flourish. As we talked about, I think it was last week, it's an unstoppable force because it's from God. They're following God. They're praying to God. Everything is being done with the kingdom in mind and with God as their focus. As we hear these sermons, very often I try to have a so what portion. Because whenever you read this stuff, we can talk about what actually happened and we can talk about the context, but we always want to think about it in a so what kind of way. How does this affect me? How does this affect us? This week was, it was particularly hard for me to even work on this sermon. For whatever reason, this week just was like a magnet for all types of different events. This became a very, very busy week. Wednesday was a day that the superintendent of the schools invited the church, the pastors of Palmyra. We do that every other month, but it happened to be this past Wednesday. So after coffee shop theology, I'm running over there. We had a very good discussion about evacuation type of things and how churches can be a rally point and so forth. But it actually ran an extra half an hour. I was over there an hour and a half. Fine, it was a good discussion, but it takes away, you know. We have our coffee shop theology in the evening. Monday, I spoke with the Gerber family because he passed away last week. And of course, that's something that I want to do. And we talked about funeral arrangements. Thursday was an event, a group of people that I had gone to some seminars before, some events before, they were having a pastor appreciation lunch for me and one other person from the church. So, of course, I went with the most beautiful part of a member of the church. And we went down there to Shady Maple. Life Institute, thank you. Yeah. Now, we got a free lunch, but we got three speakers, very good speakers. It was a wonderful event. But it's taken some time. And of course, I also had, week before, I had received a call. I had a sleep study scheduled for February. I have sleep apnea, whatever, but scheduled for February. Well, I get a call the week before that there's been a cancellation. Would you like to come in next Thursday? Well, that was this past Thursday. With all this other stuff, all this good stuff. But then also, on top of all that, this couple that I've been trying to help. You've heard me talking about this couple living in the Dutch motel. They've got to find a place where they can actually afford to live. And I ended up taking them to an apartment Monday afternoon down in Anvil. It's a great apartment, but there were 17 other people who had already applied, and there were three more coming in that night. And they called me then on Tuesday to tell me that they didn't get it. They called me Thursday to talk about how we need to get together on Monday to get their stuff out. They called Salvation Army, and I needed to pick them up. I need to pick them up at Sheets at 6:30 Monday morning. Well, we had a conversation. That's not going to happen. but they're coming in Monday so that I can talk to them. Here's where all of a sudden I realized on Friday, I'm not getting this sermon done, but I got convicted as I read what the apostles said. It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. I wasn't exactly waiting on tables, but if you put that in quotes, that I'm finding myself being distracted by these other things and not focusing the attention that I need to on the ministry of the word. So I need to make some changes there and also ask for some help. Because the one thing I do want to point out is that we do have people who are helping in those areas. I mean, think about it. If I was the pastor and I needed to also take care of the books, if I was the bookkeeper as well, well, that would be taking my time away, right? But we have a commission. As I look at our structure of the church, we have a commission to take care of that. And Brent's the one that's in charge of that commission. I don't want to be the one who's calling people about the roof or about the lawns or about whatever, you know, air conditioning and stuff like that. I'm not the one who got the quotes for the air conditioning units we're going to talk about later. We have a property commission for that, and Logan takes care of that for us. I'm not the one who decides what flowers we're going to put out or what decorations go up. We have people who take care of that, and then we have people who take care of other things. My point is, there's so many other commissions that we have people taking care of, and that's wonderful. And we're actually going to pray for them in a couple of minutes. But we've got one here that's empty. It's our outreach commission. Now, we have some people who are taking care of LCCM and Caring Cupboard. We take care of our missionaries. We have a committee for that. But our commission overall for outreach, that's not just evangelism. That's not just walking around and preaching the Word of God to people. It's preaching through our actions, through our hands, through our feet, helping people. We don't have anybody in charge of that. So what I'm going to do is ask you to pray. And we're going to pray together as a group here in just a minute. But we need to pray that God will reveal to us who it is among us that needs to be in charge of that commission, that could do a good job, who is full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom. Who could take care of that for us? Because that's where I need some help. I need to be able to turn these types of things over to somebody, not bail on them. I want to follow this through all the way. I want to find out where this couple ends up. I want to stay in touch with them. I want to make sure they end up somewhere other than this motel. It's sapping all their money. But I can't keep doing it and neglecting the ministry of the Word of God. So what I do want to do, as I said, I would like our commission reps to stand, because I realize you need to support them. We need to support them with prayer. Maybe this will be an extra boost, a little bit of an energizer for them as they finish out the year. But I'm going to ask them to just stand up, because I want all of us to pray for them. So Logan, in charge of our property commission. Amy, up top there, she's in charge of our discipleship commission. Brent is the one that takes care of finance, if you'll stand. See, all these people are so humble and so shy. And then Daniel is in charge of our worship commission. And Sam, he's in charge of congregational life, our fellowship and so forth. We need you to stand, please. I just want everybody to be able to see you, focus on you as they pray. This is not highlighting you, not spotlighting you in the sense that we're bringing attention to you other than we want to focus our prayers your way. Okay? So I'm going to pray. Please pray along with me. You can pray your own prayer. You can pray it silently. You can pray it out loud. Hey, news alert. Every one of us could be praying out loud and God would still understand every single prayer. So you pray however you feel led. I'm going to pray for them. I would like you to pray along with them. And I'm also going to pray for this empty box as well. So let's pray. Well, Father, you have showed us in your word the way to take care of dealing with all the functions of the church. And Father, I'm so grateful for these people who are able to take care of portions of the management of the church, and it frees me up to be able to just focus my attention on the ministry of the word as we heard this morning. Father, I pray that you will give discernment. I pray for an extra dose of grace, an extra dose of blessing on Logan and Amy, Brent, Daniel, and Sam, as they have the responsibility of taking care of their particular portions of the management of this body, of this building and this group that we call your church. Father, would you just bless them? Make them aware of your presence. Let them know that you're walking with them as they make decisions, as they think about what's next. And Father, I ask, I implore you to please reveal to us who to put in charge of this outreach. Father, we need a group of people who will be willing to go out and to use their hands and their feet to represent you, to take care of the needs that are presented to us from this community. I thank you for the way that you take care of us, the way you take care of this church, and the way you have provided us with these people who are full of the Holy Spirit. And I ask for an extra blessing. Fill them more with the Holy Spirit. And they're full of wisdom as well. Thank you for their service. Provide an extra dose of encouragement and help us to remember to support them in all that they do. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can sit down. Take the spotlight off of you. Hey, the whole point is to get to this last sentence so that the word of God spreads. That's on me and on all of you, of course, but so that I can focus on the ministry. And so the number of disciples in Palmyra increases rapidly, not just the Palmyra church called First EC, but that we can create disciples out there in Palmyra. And I don't know if the Catholic priest wants to become obedient to the faith, well, that's up to him and God. But the last part of the sermon, I don't know if we have, or the last part of that verse, I don't know if we have much control over. That's up to the Holy Spirit. Well, thank you for praying along with me for these people. And we just pray for God's leading, continued leading, as we move on. Let's stand, if you're able, and sing our final hymn, number 497. And before I pronounce the benediction, just remember to hang around for the congregational meeting. And now, as you prepare to enter out into the mission field that's outside this church, just remember to quit your whining and just follow the leading of the Lord. He will guide you and protect you. May he protect you. May his face shine upon you, and may his grace be on you every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.